listening to a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final thing, I don't often ask this, but this feels like a big, you know, pre-fight interview in the locker room, so to speak, before a massive event. Can I get a prediction for Sunday night?
I don't lose. Ever.
Acknowledge Roman Reigns as still your WWE undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, as he didn't give the Cody lovers what they wanted. Sorry, Cody. The story did not get finished in Los Angeles. Sorry, Cody. You didn't win. You lost. You couldn't close the big one. You lost to the Tribal Chief. You lost to Roman Reigns. The reign of Roman continues. Sorry, Cody. Cody lost. And I am so excited. 617-779-0985. We are going to celebrate day, let's see, let's check my notes here. Day 946 of Roman Reigns as your champion, as your WWE champion. Let me tell you, that was a banger of a match. That was a banger of a main event. Cody lost, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate Roman Reigns. And it took a lot to beat Cody. I'll give him credit on that behalf. Three spears, little interference. By the way, if you're a Cody fan, and you would have been happy, which that Los Angeles crowd looked like it was going to be happy, of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn running in and illegally striking Roman Reigns with a stunner and a haluka kick, and Cody getting the victory that way. No, no, that's not how it works. Cody should have won it clean, right? Nope. But it took three spears. It was really a hell of a match, hell of a main event. Different Roman's matches are different pacing, different way to tell the story. And I think they told a really good story in the match. And like all Cody bashing aside, this isn't the last we've seen of Cody in the main event of challenging Roman. He'll probably win Money in the Bank. He'll win some other way. He'll get back to the title chase. But this main event, this WrestleMania weekend was actually really great. One of the better WrestleMania weekends that has happened. I think they're on a good, WWE is hot right now. Triple H said that in his press conference last night, but let's kind of run through some of the issues tonight. We'll lead off with Ty Anderson's going to join me once he gets done with TV. So if you want to do some hockey talk with Ty Anderson, he's going to be on NBC Sports Sunday about 7 minutes from now. He's going to jump in here as soon as he's done there. But for now, 617-779-0985. We're going to celebrate Roman Reigns. Cody lost. Sorry, Cody lovers. But this main event was really good. This WrestleMania was really good. The third spear is what took Cody Rhodes out after interference from Solo Sikoa. Solo was tossed earlier in the matchup, being caught for the third time. And then after the Usos ran in, hit a one and done on Cody, KO and Sammy made a save. And as I mentioned, hit Roman illegally with a stunner and a haluga kick. And you people out there, you Cody fans, wanted Cody to win that way. That would have been a cheap win. They did booyah. It felt like watching that LA crowd was about 90-95% Cody, which kind of surprised me. But maybe they're sick and tired of Roman. I don't know. I'm not sick and tired of Roman. Roman is just getting started. And the cut that we played coming out of the open was an interview that Roman did either today or yesterday with Ariel Helwani. And he said he doesn't lose. This is a guy, Roman Reigns, who you'll miss when he's not on top. and you'll miss the fact that the last 3 years, billion-dollar years for WWE, and Roman's been at the head of it. So we'll talk about WrestleMania. We'll talk about the two nights. That main event was really great, and I'm just thrilled that Roman won. The WWE might be sold as early as tomorrow. I've got some thoughts on that and what that means. Night one was great. That main event with Owens and Sammy winning the tag titles, that's an all-time main event in the history of WrestleMania. The Charlotte Flair-Rhea Ripley match is an all-timer. Dominic Mysterio became a star on night one of WrestleMania. So all of that, your phone calls, I'm happy to go to the phones 3-4 minutes in because we're loaded up. So let's do it right now. Let's go to the phones right now. Jeff gives me the thumbs up. Jeff Williams, producing, huge wrestling fan. Watch the show with him. Ty Anderson's going to join me shortly, but let's go to the people. Let's go to, this is a great, we're going to go to Damian in Rhode Island on Roman retaining the championship tonight. Damian, tell me you want to celebrate Roman winning. Let's go.
Oh, Jay Stu, man, they had us believing Cody was going to win.
They had you believing Cody was going to win.
Well, I mean, after Sammy, I was just so surprised. So I really thought they were going to pivot over from Sammy directly to Cody. But I'm glad our tribal chief is still reigning, defending. I really don't see anyone on the roster ready to take over the championships. I'm actually hoping that they, you know, come up with some championships for people like Cody. And Roman just keeps on carrying until, I don't know, maybe The Rock wants to come take them from him.
So I was waiting. We purposely waited in case the lower third and The Rock came out, or Randy Orton or some big star came out as Roman's next challenger. But as Roman said in an interview with Ariel Helwani, I'm here. I'm elevating people. So they'll bring somebody else out and Roman will elevate him. But Damian, did you have another point on WrestleMania before I let you go?
No, man, I'm hope you're enjoying it just like I am. You know, Tribal Chief is still standing tall. We the ones, baby.
Damian, throw up the ones. Thank you for calling in. Roman Reigns, still your Universal Champion. By the way, WWE just started their press conference thing. We're watching it. Jeff and I are watching it. If something happens and they start talking about the sale of the company, we'll turn that over as quickly as we can. These press conferences I find fascinating. I find that they can give great insight to a lot of the inner workings of the business. So we've got an eye on that going forward. Let's go to Dave in Weymouth. Dave, you're up next here on a variation of Stick to Wrestling, the regular podcast that I do. Dave, you want to celebrate Roman Reigns' win tonight?
I do. Two things real quick, Jimmy. First of all, I just think Reigns is at this point the longest reigning heel ever. He's got to drop it to someone who's a huge superstar. And I know Rhodes is over and everything, but this is a guy who was a career just mid-rounder, you know, an also-ran guy. And to just all of a sudden bring him back and totally manufacture the run and have Reigns drop the belt to him is, to me, would have been a mistake. And one other thing real quick, Jimmy, if I'm the only one who feels like this, I'll shut up, but do you think the WWE is going overboards with this? Oh, my God, how did he kick out from that? Like, there was four times in the main event there. It's like, that's it. They landed their finisher or the super punch where he caught him coming at him. Like at some point it gets old, and the tag team title match was way overboard when it came to that.
So, Dave, thank you for the call. Appreciate you calling into the program tonight. So let's work backwards. The tag match last night was great. That was top five WrestleMania main events of all time. I believe. So it comes to a point of Michael Cole has been unlocked since he doesn't have Vince McMahon chirping in his ear. And I think Michael Cole has been absolutely outstanding since Triple H took over creative, since Vince isn't using the talk back in his ear, telling him what to say, how to say it, trying to focus on key terms. I think Michael Cole is inching towards the Jim Ross level. And there's a conversation to be had about how Jim Ross might be the greatest talker in the history of pro wrestling sports entertainment. But Michael Cole has to sell everything with it. I think his fandom has come through, and it's about time because he's you know, he's been a little stiff with some things. So the fact that Michael Cole is just, he's at another level. We talk about Roman Reigns being at another level. Michael Cole right now is at a great level, and him and Corey Graves are great. Michael Cole and Pat McAfee are great. As far as the Cody Rhodes bashing, I'm here for it. I will take every single phone call who wants to bash Cody Rhodes. I love it. I'm here for it. Cody is doing well merchandise sales wise. So that's a big reason why he would come back. He would be put into a spot like this. In my opinion, this was the story to be told in this time frame. But what this does for Cody is it gives him some adversity to overcome. It's his first loss since his comeback. And you might be out there thinking, oh, well, he tore his pec. Like, that's adversity. Well, he tore his pec not during a match, not as part of the storyline, but lifting weights, bench pressing. And look, it's whatever he bench presses, I couldn't bench press. But it wasn't like it was an in-ring story. It was an out-of-ring injury that he had to rehab and come back from. And that's not a unique story. It probably helped him in a way, in a way that he's not doing a year's worth of matches only to get to the Rumble and then fail at WrestleMania. He comes back as the 30th entrant in the Royal Rumble match. And he wins it going 10, 15 minutes over Gunther, who had been in there for an hour. So, like, what adversity is that? Like, you could argue that, like, he surprised Seth Rollins at WrestleMania last year. WrestleMania Backlash, which nobody remembers, which was actually a better match than their WrestleMania match. He hooks the tights and cheats to win. There's adversity. And then the Hell in a Cell where he walks in injured because he tore his pec lifting weights. He got through the match and then he went to rehab. He comes back, he wins the Rumble from the 30th spot. I could go out there and win the Rumble match from the 30th spot. Like, doesn't impress me, especially against the guy who had been in there an hour plus and Gunther, the Intercontinental Champion. So Cody's had it kind of easy. So how does Cody bounce back from this is really kind of the question with his character. And as Roman said, like, April 3rd, which we're closing in on right now, actually, as we close in towards the witching hour, the midnight hour. Cody Rhodes now has adversity to overcome. And what happens next with his story? Because quite frankly, I'm thrilled Cody didn't finish the story here. I wouldn't have had Cody beat Roman. I don't have the answer to who beats Roman yet, but it's not Cody. And how can you go against the numbers of what Roman has done in a main event spot so far in WWE? 3 straight years, the WWE, billion dollar company. And that's the Cody story. I just saw Max jump on. Max is in Medford. Cody's future with the WWE title. And by the way, I see everybody. Thank you so much for calling in at midnight to talk about wrestling. Love it. Appreciate, excited for the opportunity. So let's go to Max in Medfield who wants to talk about Cody Rhodes. Max, go ahead. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. Hope you guys are doing well tonight.
I am doing great, Max.
Yeah, you know, just finished watching Mania. I'm a huge Cody fan. I've been a Cody fan ever since, you know, back in the day when he was a heel going up against Ray and the paper bag and all that kind of stuff. I'm disappointed because I really thought that he was going to pull through with this one. And I know you mentioned something about, like, adversity and whatnot. And I do agree with you. I do think that there should be, like, more, you know, story building with that. But I really think that, like, when you mentioned talent that could go against Roman to really, like, take it away, I really thought that he was, like, that guy. You know what I mean?
So based on business metrics, he would be in line to be that guy, Max. But right now, he's not that guy. Like, until you can get in the same stratosphere as Roman, like, I don't think that they should take the championship off him, Max. But
who
tell me
do you
more.
Think would be that guy, though?
I don't that's know. And that's, like, if you want to go through the story that WWE is telling you, whether they know it or not, it's Jey Uso. Like, TV would...
Really?
Yeah, Jey Uso is the guy. Jey Uso can do everything. Great worker in the ring. His promos make you feel. And even when he's not speaking, Max, look at the reaction he got leaving the ring at the end of the Rumble. that crowd was stunned that he did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, that was.
And then
that
in
was.
Boston,
there,
when he
lot
turns
of people,
on
yeah,
Sammy.
Yeah, caught them.
And in Boston, when he turns on Sammy, Boston yeah. hated him.
Oh, my God. My brother went to that event. He was telling me the crowd was hating them.
So, Max, appreciate the phone call. Thank you for listening tonight. Good luck with Cody down the road. Because, you know, Cody's I don't know about Cody. Cody's got some adversity now. I want to go to Jeremy right now. Jeremy is in Framingham right now. Jeremy, you've got a thought on Cody's redemption and Kenny Omega in WWE. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hey now, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First things first, great WrestleMania this year. My prediction is with Cody, maybe we could possibly see something similar with him with what we saw with John Cena post-WrestleMania 28, where we see him, you know, redeem himself after this loss. Like, it'll be like a year buildup of a story. And my second thing is a question for you guys. What do you think about the possibility about Kenny Omega in WWE? My understanding is he's a free agent in November. What do you guys think about the possibility of him showing up at the Royal Rumble, winning and headlining next year's WrestleMania in Philly?
Jeremy, thank you so much for the phone call. On Kenny Omega, I think that it's possible that he does show up in WWE when his contract is up. AEW extended his contract because he was out with an injury. I would believe that Kenny Omega, with all Jon Moxley went on his wife Renee Paquette's podcast and was talking about all the backstage BS and didn't kind of dive any further than that. CM Punk may or may not be coming back. Tony Khan may be announcing the United Center for Labor Day weekend and their pay-per-view that weekend. AEW should be a little bit further along than it is. So if Kenny Omega is no longer a VP, his salary is kind of in question. He doesn't feel like he can do anything more in AEW. Why not go to WWE? I'm sure that WWE would back up the Brinks truck because Jeff Williams, get this, it'll be somebody else for Roman Reigns to beat next year. That's what I'm here for. Let Roman Reigns get to 2000. Let him beat Bruno's record. I think Bruno Sammartino's record is like 2138 or something like that. 2138 days. It's something like that. Let Roman break the record. There's nobody in his league right now. You know, he's got that God Mode t-shirt for a reason. It's a t-shirt. By the way, smart move by WWE. They now sell championship t-shirts. So I'm going to go on WWE shop and I'm buying my Roman t-shirt because I want to bask in this one. Like he stuck Cody pretty good. 617-779-0985. I'm going to go to Jonathan in Taunton right now. Jonathan, you're on the air right now on 98.5 The Sports Hub with James Stewart talking WrestleMania and Cody Rhodes losing.
Can we talk about 1,000 days?
No. Oh, we're going to get there. We're going to get there, brother.
Jay, I was sober for 10 days.
Turn your radio down, Jonathan. 20-second delay.
And then I turned 12. And WrestleMania was unbelievable.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is I'm on mushrooms and I don't even know what to say.
Jonathan, thank you for the phone call. The thing to say is that Roman won, Cody lost. That's what you're saying. Where are all my Cody people? I was chirped on Twitter all day that Cody was going to win. Where are
crying right now.
Where are all my Cody people? Where are all my Cody people? Okay, I see Sean in Hamilton says that Roman's win was disappointed. Sean, you're up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Sean.
I want to preface this by saying that I have, for the most part, really enjoyed Roman's run since taking the title back in 2020. You know, I'm somebody who kind of fell out of wrestling and then fell back into love with WWE during the course of this. But I want to say the buildup over the last year, you know, during the Sammy arc and leading to what happened at the Rumble and then what we got at Elimination Chamber, him not dropping the title was such an amazing opportunity. That doesn't come around very often. And then for Roman to, you know, kind of continue this run into WrestleMania, it begs the question of, you know, what is ultimately going to happen here? What is going to be the payoff? And, you know, I really like your theory that you mentioned a couple callers ago with Jay, but I'm just looking for, you know, it feels like at this point it's never going to end. And as a fan, even though I'm loving this run, I still want to see that typical, you know, heel face payoff.
So Sean, thank you for the call. Sean, it's a good point. Like, who is the guy to beat Roman? That's the question we've been asking for a long time now. And the answer is they don't have the guy. They just don't have the guy yet. And maybe Cody losing is part one to this for him, so that you can continue with him trying to finish the story. So let's go back in time to WrestleMania 31. Everybody thought Roman was going to beat Brock. That was going to be the moment. And here comes Seth Rollins with the Money in the Bank briefcase and the Disruptor. And now Roman has to wait. And people forget this. Roman won it because Seth got hurt. He ran in like a mini tournament at Survivor Series, lost it to Sheamus, and then lost it in the Rumble. There was something that happened where Roman's big win at a WrestleMania was like his third championship win. And it was in a flat match against Triple H and the show because, I'm Hunter. I can wrestle 35 minutes. I can have the most WrestleMania time in history. Why? Because I'm the champ and I'm going on last. And I'm now the creative content director or whatever his official title is. But like, I want the longest match because I can tell a story. Well, it was kind of a bad story of a match, but that's a conversation for another day. But maybe this is chapter one to Cody's story. But Cody lost, and that's the big takeaway. This is what Ty Anderson has done with TV, so hopefully you got your hockey talk. Ty Anderson is going to join me in mere moments. He is going to tell me why I'm full of it when it comes to celebrating a Cody loss, I think. But throw him up, because we the ones, Roman Reigns, continues on as the WWE Universal Undisputed Heavyweight Champion of the World. Hang on, let me double check my notes. That is for tomorrow, will be day number 945. And there's a lot more to WrestleMania than just that main event. I want to get Ty Anderson's thoughts, and I'll share mine on the potential sale of WWE. I want to get Ty's thoughts on that main event last night where the tag team title switched. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeated the Usos. I want to get Ty's thoughts on Rhea Ripley, I think a personal favorite of Ty Anderson's, beating Charlotte Flair. And I want to get Ty's just general thoughts on WrestleMania. And God bless you people, we have full phone lines at midnight the night after WrestleMania. So let's pause for station identification. And on the other side, Ty Anderson's going to jump in, and we're going to talk more WrestleMania. So stay tuned next, because Ty Anderson and more WrestleMania thoughts coming your way right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlocks, arm bars, body slams, and hot takes. This is a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Before we go, I just want to say one thing. We've talked about him being an MVP, and I've said it like you said, and it's true. Before I go, two things. The Usos, even though everybody loves them, everybody appreciates them, they're underappreciated. They're the best. Unbelievable. I don't have enough good words for them. And also, I said PWG helped us get here. Super Dragon helped us get here. There's two other guys that really helped us get here. Their names are Mark and Jay Briscoe. We lost Jay recently. I really hope we made him proud tonight, because, God, great guys, and we really miss him.
Yeah. Life goes fast, and so it's nice to just enjoy these moments.
First voice you heard was Kevin Owens. Second voice you heard was Sami Zayn, but you're a niche wrestling fan, so you probably already knew that, but we're in radio, so we do radio resets. My name is James Stewart. This is the WrestleMania post show. Those are the two voices of the new WWE Tag Team Champions. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Sami has been the MVP. And top five WrestleMania main event. I think, of all time. Main event of night one, they win the titles. Great. I almost said a cuss word there as we bring in Ty Anderson. Ty Anderson, do you want to start with thoughts on the main event last night? Do you want to defend Cody Rhodes? Where do you want to go?
Well, we're going to have 2 hours of defending Cody Rhodes.
So. Oh, here we go. Let's go.
So I think that...
Throw him up, Ty. Throw him up.
No, absolutely not. No, I think we can start with night one. It's like, you know, get the good out of the way before we dwell on the negative, of course.
And plus, I've been celebrating Roman Reigns for, you know, the last 20 minutes or so. So
yeah, I think that last night is not the original story that I had in mind for Sami Zayn's road to WrestleMania, but I loved it. It was a story that really captivated me for the last, and I think all wrestling fans really, for the last, you know, over a year now. But it felt like this story really hit its stride once Kevin Owens was brought into the mix. You know, you had that sort of that will he, won't he? You know, like you always felt that they would join sides. But with KO and Sammy, you never know. You just never know where that's going to go. And then, you know, it's just one of those stories that, like, listen, we all have, like, our lifelong friends, right? We all, like, it was relatable on so many levels. And those people you disconnect with or you side with so-and-so, like, you know, so I loved that main event. I thought emotionally, physically, storytelling, everything was a 10, like across the board. And that, I think it's all encapsulated, that hot tag at the end where Kevin tags Sammy in. I mean, that's 8 months of storytelling, emotion, all in one little move that just made such a difference, I thought, in that match. Love the ending. Love them being tag team champions. Curious where they go from here, though, because it's such a high. Like, where do you go from here? But as a whole, I thought Kevin Owens nailed it, saying that the Usos are underappreciated, I think.
I agree. The Usos should probably go down the last 10 years as the best tag team going today. And they're really four-dimensional characters. They can have great in-ring matches, they can have great promos, they make you feel, and they can do anything that you need to do, and they do it well. Like, and one of the biggest parts about last night's main event, I think, there are really two big sticking points. One is it took 3 Heluga kicks to beat Jey Uso, and that is a great way of protecting the Usos, but also not taking anything away from Kevin and Sammy winning. Like, because we're going to look back at that and be like, wow, it took that much. But, like, it doesn't damage anything. It doesn't take away from any of the celebration, any of the quality. It doesn't hurt the Usos. Another thing that doesn't hurt the Usos is Sami Zayn was the first person to kick out of the one and done by the Usos. If you want to go back further than that, the first person in WWE to kick out of the Dudley Death Drop, the 3D. The only other person to kick out of the Dudley Death Drop. Do you know the answer to this, Ty Anderson?
I don't. I want to know.
It happened in TNA Impact. It was Chris Sabin as a member of the Motor City Machine Guns in one of the Dudley's last matches. They, for lack of a better way of putting it, the Dudley's let him kick out. And going back even further, in a crappy feud that the Dudley's had with Undertaker, the Dudley's offered Taker to kick out of 3D, and Taker said no. That it wasn't the right time. This was absolutely the right time if you're going to kick out of a finisher that was never kicked out of. It added to the match. And one other spot that I want to bring up in that match, when the Usos hit the double Uso splash, I threw up my ones because I was waiting for a 3 count and an Usos retain. And he kicked out. And I went, this match, like, it can't get any better. And it did. And it rolled up everything nicely. So to answer your question about where it goes next, rematch with the Usos, and then Street Profits, but they're good guys. Who else is really on the villain side of tag teams right now?
That's the thing.
And like, maybe it has to go back to the Usos.
But I almost don't want that because the reign was so good. The sequel's never as good as the original, right? And then are they back in that sort of, okay, now you're trading it off every other few months. Like, that's no good for anybody. I think that's what I think made them, you know, the day one-ish, right? Like, that was, like, they were unbeatable. And now if it just goes right back to them, it's like, all right, do we count the 30 days or whatever they didn't have the belt? Like, because that just be kind of weird, right? Like, so I don't know where they go. I mean, you want to build up Judgment Day? That'd be nice. Nice to get them a win.
I'm here for Judgment Day. I didn't expect Finn Balor to bust himself open by getting hit in the head with a ladder and then having to either be crazy glued or stapled shut during the match.
That was wild.
That was crazy. I thought they were going to stop it. At one point, Edge beats Finn Balor in what I would call an upset in Hell in a Cell in the semi-main event of WrestleMania. They had a really good match. Just they had a pause because Balor got clocked right in the forehead with the ladder, and he must have had a gusher because that thing was going immediately. Tip, by the way, if you take a little crazy glue, a little super glue, you can glue a wound shut. And, you know, it'll get you to the hospital, get you stapled up, and, you know, temporary fix there.
It's going to look gnarly in the morning.
Oh, I'm sure. But it was also covered up because he's got the paint on.
Right.
He's got the demon paint on. So, but good match. Before we get back to the calls, because I see Fitzy and Uxbridge wants to talk about Brock and Sammy and Kevin. So I want to get to Fitzy in a second. Do you have a thought on Cody, or do you want to save it for next segment?
I'm just so upset with how it ended. I am. I'm done. I'm done with the interference. I'm done with like the rain. Why it sucks is because he's not on every show. If he were on every show, and I understand he's earned that right. Roman Reigns has earned that right to not be on every show. But it's not too dissimilar from Brock when he was holding belts hostage. And I don't like it. I like how they've worked around it. With writing storylines and making other belts more important. But ultimately, I don't like part-time champions. And that's what it feels like he's become more than ever before. And you get why, but I really wanted to see a new era begin tonight.
So I think the reason why, I think Roman's older. I think he's a little banged up. He's got years of football on him. He's got years of 365 wrestling. He's got the leukemia thing that's kind of hovering. His health issues are kind of hovering over it. But if he's say he's defending the title like every 2 weeks, you run out of challengers, right? Like, I mean, we're already at, like, I think Bad Bunny is going to be challenging Roman at the next pay-per-view in Puerto Rico. I don't love that either. I didn't love Logan Paul just jumping right in there and getting a shot at him in Saudi Arabia. But what the Saudi prince wants, the Saudi prince gets, and he obviously wanted Logan Paul. And that's the right show to do a celebrity challenger. Like, Montreal was the perfect place to have Sammy challenge. WrestleMania was a good spot to have Cody challenge. Cardiff was a perfect place for Drew to be the challenger. I'm wondering if, because Roman's going to pass 1,000 days when he successfully defends the title in Saudi Arabia, then you've got Money in the Bank. Roman didn't work Money in the Bank last year. Smart, because then you can't get cashed in on. Even though Austin Theory wasn't going to cash in on him anyway, but whatever. So if Roman works the London show Money in the Bank, who's a logical challenger for him? Is it Gunther? Is it Sheamus? Is it another round of McIntyre? Or is it somebody who just isn't on our grid yet?
I think it's got to be Gunther. Like... But I also have him winning Money in the Bank. So now I'm like, is he going to have the IC belt, the Money in the Bank, and then challenge for the...
That'd be pretty cool, right?
You got two belts, I'm going to have three. How about that? Like that'd be fun. But that would make the most sense. You're talking about being banged up and whatnot. Do you get the sense that Drew is a little banged up?
Very much so. He's been banged up for more than a year now. He's got a back issue that almost... had him miss the Rumble last year, miss WrestleMania last year, that he's just constantly going with. And I admit that my intel is a little dated, but he had a back injury that I think at the time there was thought that he was going to be out longer than a few weeks and then back at the Rumble and then WrestleMania.
Yeah, just watching him tonight, he looked a little limited. I mean, he's been muscling through it.
Yep.
And it's been great because he's such a hard worker, and you can tell that. Definitely seems like the type that's be a locker room leader, among that group. So kudos to him. But watching him tonight, I was like, I feel like we're getting 75% Drew. And that's not a knock on him. It's just he's such an electric worker when he's on that it felt like he's just a little bit behind, if you will, you know, a step behind, as they say in sports.
Yep. But he's there for it, and he's kind of fighting through it. I want to get to Fitzy in Uxbridge before we take the break here. Fitzy. Welcome to a live version of Stick to Wrestling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. What do you got on Brock and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens?
Jay, Stu, I acknowledge you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Brock's move tonight, that F5, was very impressive as far as lifting a big man. It looked way more impressive than any body slam I've seen. And,
no, I agree. Like, go ahead, Fitzy. You talk, I talk. No, Fitzy, what I was going to say is Brock's match with Omos was exactly what it needed to be. It showed Brock can sell against a bigger guy. I love the hype video that they did where they did the tail of the tape, and it made Omos a real threat to Brock, at least perceptually. Whether or not anybody thought that Omos was actually going to win is debatable. I didn't. But just going through that boxing UFC style of tail of the tape, I thought was a great way to at least give the impression that he was a threat. Fitzy, do you have a thought on Sammy and Kevin Owens before I let you go?
Loved it. Absolutely thought it was incredible. It's going to be the beginning of the breaking of the bloodline. One question for you.
Sure.
During that match, all four men are down. The ref clearly, you know, tells them to stand up. Huge pop. Could Vince made a call and flip that mid-match and just said, give it to Kevin and Sammy?
Fitzy, it's a great question. Do I think Vince did it in that particular spot where they did the reset of the match? I don't. I will tell you this story of in New Orleans before we hit the break, and I see you guys loaded up. And again, God bless you guys for it's 12:15 and you guys want to talk wrestling. I love it. And Ty's here, and I appreciate Ty Anderson hanging out here. WrestleMania 34, the main event was Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns. They went out to the ring with Roman as the winner. During the match, that crowd wanted nothing to do with that match. They were chanting CM Punk. They were chanting, they were playing with beach balls, just anything. They weren't interested in it. The story that was going around at the WrestleMania party that I was blessed enough to be at was that Vince changed the finish in the middle of the match and went with Brock as the winner. And you could read into, they did a WWE documentary where on that WrestleMania, and Brock throws the belt at Vince. And Vince gets up and he's angry at Brock for throwing the belt at him and presumably changing the finish to that matchup. So that's an instance where, and there are other instances where a performer has been told you have 7 minutes, then it gets cut to 3 minutes, and then they get out to the ring and they're told go home. And that's happened on Raw where their time has been cut within the course of 5 minutes, 10 minutes before they head out there. So could it have happened? Yes. Do I think it had happened? No. There's also a clue in there that Kevin Owens' reaction, and like there's a point in the match where Kevin Owens is just like all smiles. So if you want to play that conspiracy theory out, it's possible. I don't think it happened. I think Kevin and Sammy were the scheduled winners when they went to SoFi, when they went to LA.
I mean, that it would make the most sense. I mean, but then again, I thought for sure it was over tonight. So nothing would surprise me. Like, I think we often undersell how good of actors everyone is.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, like, conveying emotion. You can never tell. Is this, like, are they really good? Like, I was, the emotion, you could feel the emotion of Sammy and Kevin last night. So it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But also, they've been such a good storyteller throughout all of this that I'm led to believe they're just incredible actors no matter the task at hand.
617-779-0985. Ty Anderson is here with me to talk WrestleMania. This is a special edition of Stick to Wrestling Podcast. It's a live version. We're taking your phone calls and your reaction to WrestleMania right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart. Jay Stu and Ty Anderson recap WrestleMania 39 right now on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's next for Rhea Ripley? I mean, complete control and domination of the women's division. I am now the SmackDown Women's Champion, and I'm not stopping there. I'm going to prove to everyone exactly who Rhea Bloody Ripley is, and I'm going to make my own destiny and my own legacy when I take over WWE. Going into WrestleMania 36, it was my first WrestleMania. I was NXT Women's Champion, and Charlotte had just won the Royal Rumble, and I was like, you know what, if she wants to challenge me, bring it. And unfortunately for me, my first WrestleMania was at a time when the world was shut down. So we had zero people in attendance. We were at the Performance Center, which is where I had trained every single day for the past 2 to 3 years. And it was the one place that I really didn't want to go to. But at the end of the day, I think Charlotte and I still stole the show that night. So I'm very, very proud of that match. But going out there tonight at WrestleMania 39 in Hollywood, I'm the Royal Rumble winner. I challenged Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship, and I came out victorious this time. It is so extremely satisfying. And I have to give it to Charlotte. She put up a mean fight, and I didn't really expect anything less from her. I know exactly how she is in the ring, and I knew that I had to bring everything that I had. So I did. And now you're looking at the new SmackDown Women's Champion.
This is my brutality!
That is the voice of the new SmackDown Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley, a Ty Anderson favorite. And Ty, I want to get your thoughts on what I think is either the number one or two best women's match in the history of WrestleMania. It's Charlotte losing to Rhea here, or it's Charlotte beating Asuka and her streak in New Orleans at WrestleMania 34. I can't recall a women's match that I've seen where the marquee spots were really the suplexes. And specifically, Rhea hit Charlotte with an overhead belly-to-back suplex, and Charlotte landed on her nose, on her forehead. And it reminded me of when Taz was throwing these Tazplexes in ECW. It looked like Charlotte just didn't rotate over enough or whatever it is that she was supposed to do. But I thought it was one of the more hard-hitting women's matches in the history of women's matches. I thought it was great. I thought there's an argument to be made. It's the best match of the WrestleMania weekend and a top two match in women's matches in WrestleMania history. What'd you think?
Yeah, I would agree. And what I liked about night one is it felt, and even night two for that matter, it felt that everyone upped the ante every match. But then when it got to Charlotte and Rhea, I went, I don't know if anyone's going to beat this. Like, this was just such impactful, you know, like hard hitting. And that's, to a degree, I think kind of rare in women's wrestling, especially in WWE women's wrestling. This was very hard hitting. It played to both of their strengths, I thought, in terms of power, in terms of athleticism. The way that Charlotte's able to really kind of maximize what she can do in terms of, you know, her spots and how high she can get, how clean she can land in certain areas as well. Like, I thought it was a really entertaining match, and for me, you know, Rhea she's only 26, right? Which I think it blows a lot of people's minds that she's only 26. And I flash back to when Judgment Day first started. She was kind of, you know, not by choice, basically a manager. She wasn't healthy, right? And for her to get this moment in front of 80,000 people, right? With a crowd, not the Performance Center, like she mentioned, where her first WrestleMania was. I thought it was just a nice kind of full circle moment that it really kind of puts a lot of eyes on her in the Judgment Day, where she's been in the back for so long. Now she is the central figure, it feels like, and she's deserved to be the central figure, I think, of that group for a while now.
Absolutely agree. And the sky's the limit for her at 26. That great a promo, that great an in-ring performer, just, and she's, by all accounts, like, she's a sweetheart of a person. And that makes me feel good. Not that like personal experiences should influence how my fandom is, but personal experiences influence how my fandom is. And by the way, Cody Rhodes lost tonight. Let's go back to the phone calls. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Tori, who is in Atlanta. Tori, thanks for hanging on. You have a comment about WrestleMania. Go ahead, Tori.
Yeah, I got a comment about WrestleMania. When you have a babyface that has been built like Cody has been built since he returned last year. To not pull the trigger at this point is a travesty to me, because I can guarantee you right now, nobody's going to care about the next 6 months of pay-per-views. No one's going to care about Great Balls of Fire in June or whatever nonsense this company is going to be running for the next 2-3 months. Backlash. Great. I don't know, man. I'm salty. Like I put me as a leader of the salty Cody brigade right now, because man, they ripped my heart out, Jim. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say anymore.
So Tori, you're a Cody person, right? And that's fine. Like,
You
can buy into his BS as a babyface, right? You can buy into it. But like, tell me the adversity. Like, this is this now. Like, let's back up from 12,000 feet right now. So, what adversity has Cody had so far? He's the surprise opponent for Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Advantage Cody. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania mm-hmm. Backlash. He cheats to beat Seth Rollins by hooking the tights in Providence, Rhode Island. All right. So then you go to the third match against Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell. He doesn't tear his pec wrestling. He tears his pec at the bench press machine on Friday. And we're supposed to feel sorry because he hurts himself training. And then he's got rehab for 10 months. He comes in as the 30th entrant of the Rumble, works 10, 12, 15 minutes, and beats Gunther, who's been out there for an hour plus. Where's the adversity?
The adversity is wrestling with the torn pec in the first place. And that's what one, I honestly believe that is what got him over as a babyface. It wasn't just coming back from the other company or just being Cody Rhodes or whatnot. It was that image of him in the Hell in a Cell with a torn pec. That is like pristine. That's a pristine image of a babyface right there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. It's like, this is the same feeling I had watching the 03 SummerSlam, where it's like, oh, Trips beat Goldberg with the sledgehammer. Oh, but he wins it at Unforgiven. Nobody cares that Goldberg won it at Unforgiven. You know what they would have cared? If he won it at SummerSlam, a big pay-per-view. And I just feel like they just blew it.
Tori, it's a great point. Tori from Atlanta, by the way, home of Cody Rhodes and the Nightmare Factory.
I agree with him, though, that what I would say, adversity, let me add some adversity. He had to be stardust for the end of his WWE career. That was not okay. That was not cool to him to do that. This is the son of Dusty Rhodes. You got him out here doing this? Come on. Listen, I think that it would have... Where I believe that this would have been the right call is that it felt like the story, you know, it's about telling the story, right? That was the whole build up to this, is telling the story. I didn't know about him going to Hollywood when he was 19, but trying to become an actor. Like, okay, that's great. Like, that's a great part of the story. Okay, you got little Brody in the first row. They're acknowledging AEW in a fashion here. And he's the first guy to come back over from AEW, right? And to want to, I think there's so many avenues this could have gone. Like, when Cody left, it was the right time for him to leave. When Cody came back, it was the right time for him to come back, right? And it felt like, when is the iron going to be hotter than right now? That's how I look at it for Cody. Like, where does he go from here? Does he continue the chase? I just think the iron was really hot for Cody to strike tonight. And I don't know if it's going to be that hot, you know, to Tori's point. Is it going to be hot at Backlash or at SummerSlam? Like, there may be other stories they want to tell, you know, at these pay-per-views versus Cody Rhodes.
Well, you know what? Cody Rhodes and the Lex Express, it failed. Lex Luger failed in 1993 with this over-the-top campaign, and Cody Rhodes has failed right now. So we'll see where it goes. I will say this, because I want to be fair. I want to be firm but fair, right, Ty? That's how we promote the station, right? Fair. A few things happened in the time that Cody came from AEW to WWE. The first one was Kevin Owens re-signed. Then Sami Zayn re-signed. Because you remember, Kevin Owens changed his Twitter location to the coordinates of Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore, of course, is the group that he was in with the Young Bucks and PWG. Kevin Owens stayed in WWE. Sami Zayn stayed in WWE. Then Cody came to WWE with his entire Cody Rhodes package. And ever since that moment, WWE has been white hot with their storytelling, their creative, for the most part. But Hunter said last night, WWE's hot right now. I think he's right. So again, being fair and objective, I think this is the biggest adversity that Cody has to overcome. And so Cody's not going to get the belt now, but maybe we're talking SummerSlam in Detroit. He wins Money in the Bank. Maybe there's a bigger villainous turn for Cody, although Cody's on the record saying he doesn't want to be a villain because he thinks he's Hulk Hogan. Well, a few things there. Cody, you're not Hulk Hogan. Let's get that. Even though you ripped off the t-shirt idea for Los Angeles, you're not Hulk Hogan. But there's a... I don't think that... I do believe that at some point Cody's going to get the championship. I don't see it in short term, like next pay-per-view, Saudi, Money in the Bank. I don't see any of that stuff. I think it's Roman's for a little bit longer now. And I still think that the story that WWE is telling, it's going to be Jey Uso. That's the story they're telling, whether they know it or not. We'll see if WWE pulls the trigger on it being Jey Uso or not.
Yeah, I think the closing image, too, of tonight is important in the sense that it's Cody, you know, hands on his knees, basically, sitting in the middle of the ring, and in the background you have Roman raising the belts. That would tend to lead you to believe that this isn't the end for those two. It's about where the story goes from here. But I'm with you that it feels like, listen, I've felt firmly throughout this entire process, this entire story, that Jey is the central character. Roman looks like the central character, but this is about Jey. And this is about Jey's quest from going from tag team, you know, 1A or 1B, whatever you want to call it, to main event Jey, right? That was the whole terminology.
Yep.
Well, main event Jey still needs another main event, I think, and it involves his cousin.
And he main evented last night in a losing effort, but an outstanding match in a losing effort. 617-779-0985. There's an open line for you. God bless those who are hanging on and want to talk WrestleMania right now. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about the WWE sale. Triple H was asked about it in the press conference, and we don't need to play the audio because he said that he couldn't comment on it. And that's really it. There was somebody from CNBC who a month ago said that it could be Endeavor. It could be the parent company of UFC. So we will play you that audio. When we come back next, special edition of Stick to Wrestling Live, Ty Anderson, James Stewart, 617-779-0985. Talk to you on the other side.
Headlocks, arm bars, body slams, and hot takes. This is a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart. Jay Stu and Ty Anderson recap WrestleMania 39 right now on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Although another name I do hear is Endeavor. The idea of bringing together, for example, UFC and WWE could be very robust, might get a significant multiple in the marketplace. You could even imagine a somewhat complex transaction called a reverse Morris Trust. Is that a possibility?
Look, I think they're all possible, and we're still bullish on Comcast being possible. Obviously, there's only so much I can say about it at this moment, but we've certainly got a warm reception in the marketplace from people who seem interested.
Second voice you heard there was that of Nick Khan. A little loud, sorry, Ty. And that is from CNBC Squawk Box about a month ago, where the commentator there, and I don't remember his name, sorry, classic Felger and Maz, don't remember the name of the person who said it, but he said Endeavor. Looks like he's going to be right. There are reports out there that WWE is going to be sold to Endeavor, which is the parent company of UFC. And Vince McMahon is going to be in charge, and Vince McMahon signed a new contract, an employment contract, for the next 2 years, and he retroactively did it to January 9th, I believe it was. And so it looks like WWE and UFC are going to be owned by the same company, which might be the answer to the question, Ty Anderson, of who Roman's next challenger is. It's somebody from UFC.
I don't like that. I mean, it depends who it is, but...
Tyson Fury.
Ugh, now I really don't like it. Now I really hate it.
I don't know UFC's roster, so I can't go that deeply into it, but it would be a next Roman challenger. And the other big takeaway from this is when the deal with WWE and Peacock expires, where does that streaming service go? And does it turn into the UFC model where your pay-per-views are now, it's $100 a year for the streaming service. Now it's $80 a month for WWE pay-per-views. And by the way, I'm not paying it. I'll find some other way to watch. But that's the other thing, is how it affects the consumer. Because with respect, I'm not paying $80 for anything beyond WrestleMania and the Rumble.
No, it'd be the same thing for me. It would really... I think that in 2023, you want to make your product more accessible, not harder to access it. And I think that'd be, you know, I'd be curious how Endeavor's going to manage things, because I've heard, oh, this would be great. I've also heard this be bad. A lot of people that I know that love the UFC do not love the UFC as much anymore, because they don't think that Endeavor puts enough resources into it. And they think that it's a bare bones operation. They don't think... You know, like they think, oh, the product's going to suffer because of this. They don't think it's going to be as it's another property for them. How much do they care? You know, like that's, you want someone who cares, right? Listen, when
The Rock should buy it.
Can you imagine? He would need what Ryan Reynolds needs, right? He needs some sugar daddies, some sugar mamas to come in and help him out. But, you know, I think that when I went into this with two hopes when they announced it was going to be for sale. One, don't sell it to Saudi Arabia. I don't want that. Please, no.
Right.
Number two, don't sell it to someone who's going to actively try to strip down the product and make it worse. Because I think they're in a good spot right now. You don't want to take a step backwards, right? And so I'd be curious. I'd want to know what happens here. But you can see that WWE has made the move towards being more of a UFC model in terms of how they present their fights, how they present their pay-per-views, how they conduct themselves now at press conferences.
Yep.
I mean, they're regular now. Like, it used to be kind of rare, but now every pay-per-view is a press conference. And I'm not going to lie, I love it. I think it's really cool. It gives you a peek into a world that I didn't know existed, right? Just as a common fan. So I've liked that part of it. Just how far does that go now?
How far does it go? Well, so the press conference thing I think is great because it gives it. So there's a balance, right? You get somebody who asks like the stupid question, like, so Becky Lynch, when did Bianca Belair call you? And it's a weird place of like trying to get a real person answer without going into the storyline, right? Like, what do you do? I don't know. I've been in these things and I don't know what the line is. So like when I got to ask Triple H, I asked him about storyboarding and creative. I've asked Tony Khan about some things that are about roster personnel and then some things about creative, and he won't answer the creative things. And he goes a totally different direction when I ask him about talent that aren't on his roster and are free agents. So it's like this weird dynamic of like, how do you approach these things? But they're kind of entertaining. Like, I'm interested to see Roman and Paul Heyman did a press conference. I'm interested to see how Roman answered those questions. Heyman's great at blurring the line, creating that reality within the pro wrestling storyline. He's great at it. But I think if you're talking about it being, if you're talking about Endeavor being this company that doesn't care, then it becomes New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is owned by a cable company. It becomes what WCW was to Turner Sports. And that is probably a long-term problem, because then you cut back on something like production. So I'll give you this story. Kenny Omega, at some point when he was in New Japan, wanted a certain, his intro video for the Tokyo Dome show to be a certain way. And he couldn't get it done because the production team wasn't available. They didn't do it the way he wanted. And it was just, it was a bad situation. And since, I think Kenny just learned how to do it himself. Like, anyway, you want something done, you just do it yourself. So I think that's what happened. I don't see Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman sitting in an edit doc in a video editor, like trying to make sure that their video and their music line up. I just don't see that. So it could be good. It could be bad. Ty, you want to talk to the people more?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to do rapid fire here. Look, there's an open line, 617-779-0985. If I have full phone lines at 1 o'clock, Ty and I will continue on. If we get through this round of calls and there's nobody left on the board, we're saying goodnight. And thank you for all for listening. So 617-779-0985. I almost did it again, Ty. I told you what I almost did off the air because it was ingrained in me for 12 years of my previous life. All right, let's go to Joe and Sharon, longest order of wait. Joe, go ahead. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub with James Stewart and Ty Anderson. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing great because Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes.
Ooh, screw Roman, I'd say.
Go ahead, Joe.
Listen, this is the biggest issue that I think I have with it. If you're going to have a match set up where you're going to have the Usos, you're going to have Solo Sikoa earlier in the match, you're going to have all this tomfoolery take place earlier on in the match, and Cody still is able to kick out spear after spear and Superman punch after Superman punch, and after all of that, a friggin' thumb to the throat is what takes him out. I understand the Samoan Spike is, you know, a protected move to a degree. You know, I believe Umaga, that was a huge move when he did it back in the day, RIP Umaga. Other than that, does it not seem a little silly that a man who was able to kick out of, you know, even the that choke, the guillotine choke that Roman does, that I think they even said on commentary, nobody has escaped. Even that he was able to get out of, and just a stupid thumb to the throat kicked him out. I mean, at the end of the day, like an earlier caller said, I don't know if them not pulling the trigger was the right move. And after this, what does Cody do tomorrow? He goes on Raw, says, my time is still coming. I'm still doing it. It's going to happen. And then it's the same old shtick for the next, you know, whatever, 6 months.
Joe, thank you for the phone call. I would say that some of the most ridiculous finishers are the leg drop, the people's elbow. Should I go on? Are there more?
The spear is one because everyone does it now.
It's a transition move for many, yes. The DDT, which nobody kicked out of when Jake Roberts did it, is now a transition move. So it's what psychologically as a fan are you conditioned to as a finish? And so the Samoan Spike, WWE believes, is one of those. I would tell you that just in my notes, like Roman kicked out of a crossroads, Cody kicked out of a rock bottom. Roman kicked out of a pedigree. Cody kicked out of two Superman punches. And Cody got out of the choke. Cody kicked out of a one and done. Or they attacked him and gave him a one and done, right? Roman kicked out of a stunner and Heluga kick. And by the way, the Cody people were celebrating that that's the way that Cody Rhodes could have won the title. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's cheating. And I will not stand for cheaters, Ty Anderson. Roman kicked out of something else in my notes. Flip, flip, fly, two crossroads, Samoan Spike into his third spear. The third spear, things work in threes, right, Ty Anderson? I was saying this before, work in threes.
I would say, but to Joe's point, if a guy's going to break out of the guillotine and then he goes down by the Samoan Spike, it's like, that doesn't hit the same. It just doesn't.
It doesn't, but that's what we have here. We have Roman Reigns retaining. Let's go to Yuri is in the car. Yuri, you're up next here with James Stewart, Ty Anderson, 98.5 The Sports Hub, WrestleMania post show. Go ahead, Yuri.
First of all, thank you. Great show. About time wrestling gets some love here on The Sports Hub, more so than just you and Joe Murray and whatnot. Quick note on the whole potential sale to UFC. You think maybe that they're going to pull a whole wool over the eyes WCW thing again, where it's going to be Dana White announcing, and then you're going to have the rigmarole of Conor McGregor coming in and beating the crap out of Roman Reigns, and there's your next opponent, you know, for whatever bunk pay-per-view it is. But as far as it goes with Roman, Cody, you know, the whole thing is they need to get Roman Reigns to 1,000 days as champion, because it's just insurmountable at that point. You know, it's been 7, 8, 9 years, however long it's been, trying to force this guy down everyone's throat as being the next guy. And now he is the guy. He is the end boss. He's the final boss in any video game. But, you know, we have to talk about the roads to wrestle to SummerSlam, which potentially a roadmap could be having Cody win Money in the Bank. And then at the same time, now maybe you set something up if the sale goes through with Endeavor and you have, you know, like I said, Roman Reigns, Conor McGregor, whatever. Or considering how badly WWE has been wanting it, you get that Roman Reigns Rock match at SummerSlam to cement SummerSlam really as being the number two pay-per-view behind a WrestleMania. And then Cody is able to come in and cash in. You, in a sense, are able to protect Roman Reigns or The Rock, whichever, whoever, because they've gone through hell. They've had a knockdown, drag out, JR slobber knocker, whatever match. And that gives Cody opportunity, even though it's kind of shady, but that could be where he's able to keep that line blurred a little bit as far as, well, is he, you know, is he turning, you know, because I mean, is he turning? Is he not turning? He said he doesn't want to turn, but, you know, I think there's potential to have, you know, almost a summer of Cody along the lines of like Summer of Punk, where everything just goes rosy for him. And then it can potentially culminate at SummerSlam.
Yuri, thanks for the phone call. I'm going to Felger you and cut you off. Yuri makes a good point about the Summer of Cody, right? But if Cody gets the Money in the Bank, at what point do the fans turn on him? Because they're like, okay, we get it. He's being shoved down our throats. Like, he had his WrestleMania, he lost there. Doesn't Cody need to start again and build back up and not be pushed back into a main event so quickly?
Yeah, fans are fickle. We know that.
Danielson was right about that years ago when he was the eco-friendly champion.
Yes. And quickly to Yuri's point about Conor McGregor, I don't know if you follow him on social media at all.
Him and Becky Lynch are close.
There's that, and also McGregor has gotten huge. Like more than UFC, like in shape, he's bigger, right? He's more bigger than he is lean, I would say these days. Not that he would have advance notice that, hey, we're going to buy WWE, but it leads me to believe that it wouldn't be that surprising if he were to make that jump, if he wanted to. But I think that, yes, you need to sort of temper how hard you're shoving Cody down everyone's throat. I think that's the case for anybody. You know, like, I was the guy who, for years, I wanted Reigns to take the belts from Brock. I'm like, I'm sick of Brock. Put on someone. And now look at me. Now I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with Roman. Give me someone else. So I acknowledge that is a problem this company has had. Now, as for the 1,000 days thing, I think it's interesting. What I also think is interesting is that you have Gunther currently in the middle of a run where he could challenge for the longest reigning IC championship reign. You're going to have two of those going together?
Okay.
So that's what I would say. If you're going to have, you have Gunther in his reign, which may be historic at this rate, the way it's going, it's going to be over 300 and something days now. The longest is Honky Tonk at, what, 450?
Yeah, it's 450-something. Yeah.
So he's, what, 5 months away from that? Yeah. So you're going to have two historic reigns going on at the same time. It's a little hard to balance that, I think. So they got some tough sledding ahead in terms of balancing storylines, I think.
But we give them the benefit of the doubt because they've been pretty good about it the last 10 months, 12
yeah,
months, something
I would
like
agree.
That.
So, I would agree.
All right, 617-779-0985. I have callers on the board. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to clean up these callers, and then we're going to say goodnight, and we're going to give you closing thoughts on WrestleMania. And look, if we get to 1:15 and I got a full board of calls, we'll keep going. What do you think, Ty?
I love it. I got right. Nothing going on. I had a Coke. I'm good to go.
All right. 617-779-0985. We will be back on the other side with more WWE wrestling talk. James Stewart, Ty Anderson here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Burn it down!
think they're still singing the Seth Rollins. No. It's 1 a.m., Ty Anderson, who, by the way, your name should have been in the open.
That's all right.
At least you're in a rejoin, although you should be more. Ty Anderson, staying with me, James Stewart, or I am me and he is me, or whatever. I don't know how that goes, but we're going to take calls for the next 15 minutes. If I still have a full board, we'll keep going until 2 a.m. If I don't, then, yeah, we'll sign off at 1:15 because we have filled our quota here. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's post-WrestleMania. Let's go to longest order of wait is Patrick in Hyannis. Patrick, thanks for calling in to the Stick to Wrestling live show with Ty Anderson, James Stewart here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, thank you, James and Ty. And I join others in with sharing some appreciation that you're giving us and giving our listeners a debrief in a show after the event. I do very much appreciate
Thank our
that.
Program director, Rick Radzik, and our assistant program director, Jim Louth, for suggesting it.
Thank you. If it was a risk, you did well, because hopefully we're going to keep them lit for a while. So two short takes, then I'll give you the main one. Night one, much better than night two, my opinion.
We agree.
I don't know what you guys think about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But the second one, this developing story that if the Snoop Dogg coming back into the ring was improv, is there's a report out there that, you know, Shane gets hurt and Snoop Dogg just did that on a wing and a prayer and at what a good job. If that was improv, that was a hell of a job.
So Patrick, thank you for the phone call. That was totally an improv. Shane McMahon was a surprise opponent for the Miz, went to do a leapfrog, came down, and the reporting is that he blew out his hamstring or his quad or something like that.
Ugh. I saw ACL.
So I saw ACL too. Somebody texted me what it actually was, what Triple H said in the post show. I thought I saw, oh, yep, Hunter said it was a torn quad for Shane McMahon. So Vince and Shane both tore their quads in different. The Vince McMahon thing is the Shane McMahon thing is fascinating because he gets injured, he goes down, and Snoop, it was a total improv, just acted, and they got it done right. And credit to Miz for just being a good person and being like, okay, this is what we have to do. And everybody involved, like, let's cover this in a moment's notice. There are veteran wrestlers, veteran superstars who would just freeze up and be like, I don't know what to do. And Snoop Dogg is like, you all right, cuz? You're not okay? All right, let me just hit Miz, knock him out, and we'll do the people's elbow, and, you know, this is what we got to do. Like, brilliant. Brilliant. There was Sami Zayn told this story on the Stone Cold podcast about working with the Jackass crew. And what's the main Jackass guy's name?
Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville. Was the mousetrap was the finish to their match. And Johnny Knoxville during practice was like, if this thing doesn't fire automatically, where's the manual switch? In the match, it didn't fire automatically and he just pivoted to the manual switch. But if that thing stays put, it totally botches the finish. In the same way that Snoop just improv got in there. Great, great work there. Great work all around with that.
Yeah, and it just this highlights the fact that Miz can main event WrestleMania. He can be the host of WrestleMania. He can fight in the mid-card. He is just such an electric performer on the mic, in the ring. He's such a good sport about everything, too. And you know, listen, one of my guilty pleasures is watching Miz and Mrs.
That's okay.
I'm not gonna lie.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. But it really highlights the fact that he's a guy who just, he gets it, right? He gets it in. He gets it out. Like, he knows what he's doing. So that was great thinking on their feet, too. Because I was kind of looking down when that happened. I looked up and went, hey, where'd Shane go? And then I had to rewind it and see it. I was like, oh, that doesn't look good at all.
No. Like, as soon as it happened, I'm like, oh, it blew out his ankle. It blew out ACL. I didn't think quad, but Triple H says it's quad. So the McMahon family has a history of blown out quads. Wonder why. Let's go to Patrick. Doesn't say your location here. Patrick, you're up next with James Stewart, Ty Anderson here on Stick to Wrestling Live on 98.5 The Sports.
Hey,
go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, guys. I'm coming to you from the parking lot looking at red lights of SoFi Stadium leaving WrestleMania 39.
Thank you, Patrick, for calling in. How loud is the celebration for Roman Reigns retaining over Cody Rhodes? How loud is it?
Oh, my God. It's not loud enough. No way.
Your subject line says, Jay Stu is wrong about Triple H. Yell at me for being wrong. Go ahead.
No, here's what I'm going to ask you. Is Triple H the best, for lack of a better term, producer in WWE history? This weekend was so perfect. The fact that we got fan service the first night, the whole first night, and most of the second night until the very end, and Roman retained, it was so perfect. It could not have been better done. Like, I'm curious what, first of all, thank you both for, you know, obviously helping us in the parking lot here, listening to you guys.
God bless
but
you.
Like, how good was this weekend? It was the perfect writing, perfect producing, better than a long time of WrestleManias. Triple H deserves credit for his post-wrestling career as a producer and a writer and a showrunner. How well done was this?
Patrick, thank you for the phone call. So Triple H is not the best producer. I kind of lean Bruce Pritchard there. But as far as creative content goes, NXT team builder, top-notch performer in the ring, what he's been doing the last 10 months or so. I think he had a big hand in creative prior to that, but he gets all the credit now because Vince is clear. Well, he's supposedly out of the picture. So Triple H, top all-time roster builder, creative guy? Yeah, I'd say so.
What I love is what he's been able to do in sort of undoing a lot of crap that got done towards the end of Vince's time. A lot of creative that was just not playing to that superstar's strengths, their skill set. A guy I look at, for example, is Gunther. Like, a guy I look at,
Great example. He
was becoming just that, oh, he's foreign. Foreign means bad. Like, and no, you've now seen people appreciate what an amazing talent he is. I think that we're going to start seeing Butch go back to Pete Dunne. That's awesome. Even Finn Balor was kind of getting lost in the shuffle, right? And you're seeing him back now in a big moment. I thought it was a great match with a legend. What I will say too is that I think Triple H has a great ear for the fans without completely having to abandon their original idea, if that makes sense. Like, you can get a little bit of everything with Triple H running the show. Versus Vince, it felt like a lot of, screw him. You know what I mean? Like, it was more, it's my way or the highway. Like, I think there's more give and take now with what the fans want, what they want to accomplish as a company.
One of Triple H's greatest assets, as I understand it, is he listens to his talent. So the day of the Rumble this year, there was a war room. I won't say everybody who's involved in it, but I talked to one person who was in that war room, and they spent 4 hours mapping out the main event sequence where Jey Uso walks out, the handoff of the chair. And that was all done that day. And it was a bunch of ideas thrown against the wall, and they all came to a consensus that what you saw on TV and all of the mannerisms and everything, that's how detailed that war room meeting was. And they executed it to perfection. Let's go back to the phone. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Brad in Salem. Brad, you're up next here with James Stewart, Ty Anderson on 98.5
The Sports Zone. Jimmy, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hi, Brad. How are you? I can't call you Big Brad anymore because you're down a lot of weight.
Just want to, first off, take a moment, acknowledge our tribal chief on an awesome victory today. Also, want to acknowledge you, James Stewart, and Ty Anderson for hanging on with us grappleheads to talk about tonight's show. I don't really have a take. Just want to say that wrestling's just been putting on bangers after bangers after bangers pretty much in SummerSlam when Triple H took over. So that's the one thing that I hope continues with the impending sale. I mean, I was at that show in Montreal. That was one of the most electric atmospheres I've ever been a part of. And tonight's Mania was unbelievable as well.
All right, Brad, I'm cutting you off. You didn't have a take there. You just wanted to call and brag that you went to Montreal. I know, Brad. Brad used to be my intern long ago.
Oh, really?
So Brad's a huge wrestling fan. He travels to these shows.
He went to Montreal?
Yeah.
I really want to go to that show.
Yeah, he just wanted to call and brag about going to Montreal.
I was so upset. Doc, I got my girlfriend into pro wrestling. It's one of my greatest accomplishments besides getting her someone as amazing as her to be my girlfriend. But I took her to War Games. We went to War Games and she's like, this is amazing. And we're like, we need to go to more like awesome pay-per-views. Right. And we were like, let's go to Money in the Bank. And it was in London. We're like, I'm not going to be able to go to that one. It's just too far. It's too far of a trip.
They wouldn't comp you for a business trip here? Don't answer that. Let's go to Michael in Norwell. Michael, you're up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with James Sue and Ty Anderson. Michael, go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Michael. Your comment line says The Rock challenging Roman Reigns. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes. The Rock should be Roman Reigns' next opponent to be the true tribal chief of that family. And just imagine the buzz that would get if those two faced off to be the true tribal chief of the family.
Michael, I agree with you. Thank you for calling in, Michael. Here's what Ty Anderson and I were just talking about this off the air. So there's an issue there with Roman and The Rock. I've said this on the podcast. If you're a faithful podcast listener, you've heard me say this multiple times. I believe that the reason why this match hasn't happened is because The Rock and Roman can't decide who's going to win. I don't think The Rock wants to lose to Roman. I don't think Roman wants to lose at all at this point. And so if you're building this up, you have to have somebody who's going to be a clear, decisive winner. Fightful and Sean Ross Sapp has reported that the creative for tonight's main event and Roman beating Cody has been planned for a while now. And I bet Roman knew. I bet they told Cody today. That's me guessing. But it feels like Cody kind of thought he was going to win this weekend. And they probably told him and they had to negotiate because I bet he cried about it. What do you mean Roman's not putting me over? Cody, you're not at his level. It's okay. But I bet they didn't tell Cody until today, which is a very much a snake move. But that's kind of how business operates sometimes. So, I don't think that Roman or The Rock want to win. And that's why we haven't gotten that WrestleMania match.
Can I also ask this? Like, when could this happen? Because this felt like LA WrestleMania. It was the perfect moment
for Cody to win, you mean? Or
no,
for The Rock.
For The Rock and Reigns.
I don't
Reigns.
Think it's going to happen.
At this point, right? Like, what could be bigger than WrestleMania in LA with Roman at the top of his game and with the bloodline, that's whole storyline. You know, I think as it relates to Cody, like the right time, I wanted him to win only because I'm sick of Roman Reigns, not because I was a huge fan of Cody Rhodes, because it did feel after the Rumble, the way it was worked, he was just kind of thrown in there, right? Like it felt like the story was Sammy and Kevin and the bloodline and Roman. And then you're just throwing Cody in there. It felt rushed, right? So, but as relates to The Rock, I don't know where you make this happen with a bigger moment than what you possibly had tonight if The Rock was able to do this.
I think that The Rock, if he has one more match, it's with his daughter, who's in NXT training right now. I think that's his last match because that's a win, right? That's a win. Think about this, Ty. The Rock could come in and make $40 million and just have to lose and, you know, train and all he has to do is lose to Roman, right? Gets $40 million. You and I would do that, right?
I would do it right now.
For some reason, it's a sticking point. It's an issue for these guys. I know, or at least I've been told, that you know the last few months of creative as far as wins and losses has been a bit of a struggle, a big-time debate on things. And I think I said this, and if I didn't say it on the podcast, I'll say it now. Like, I think Sammy went into Montreal thinking he was going to win. He was going to win the championship. And I think he almost said that Roman didn't want to lose to him during the press conference after, which is kind of a big deal. All right. I have three more calls on the board, so we're going to clear through these, and then we'll call it a night, Ty.
Word.
All right. Let's go to Sean in Stoneham. He has a thought on Roman and Cody. Sean, you're up here with James Stewart, Ty Anderson on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go ahead, Sean.
Jay Stu, thanks for taking my call, my
thanks
man. Absolutely. I've been puffing on the lettuce tonight, okay? So I have some thoughts. First of all, absolutely pumped Roman Reigns won. And
thank you.
That's actually goes usually against. I thought I was going to I thought I was gonna be against Roman Reigns, but I was telling my friend, I just can't get with somebody named Cody upsetting Roman Reigns. The run is too good. That's the first thing. And the second thing is I have to respectfully disagree about the Snoop Dogg segment. It was good for them to improv, and I respect that they did that. But if you watch Snoop do that and go through that, it was painful to watch, man. And I just think I give him credit for coming on the spot and really coming through and thinking quick on his feet. But I mean, from an aesthetic standpoint, for watching it, I didn't love that segment, if I'm being honest.
It's okay, Sean, but like when you have a live television show and you're in the middle of it, it's gonna look a little clunky. In real time, the fact that they got to Snoop punching Miz and Snoop pinning Miz was tremendous. And Shane McMahon blows out his quad and you transition to that so quickly. Like, I think that was a job well done. I think that's the best you could have done in that circumstances, unless somebody else is going to come running out from that endless ramp to do it.
You know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I was fine with it too.
To his other point about Cody, I struggle to see where you go from here. You say no to McIntyre winning it in Cardiff. You say no to Zayn winning it in Montreal. You say no to Cody Rhodes winning it at WrestleMania in Hollywood. Where do you go from here? And I think that's people like me, I think that's what we're asking tonight. Not, oh, great, Roman's continuing to win. It's how do you craft another storyline that captivates the audience quite like they've been captivated into these, you know, these near celebrations, right? Seemingly endlessly for about half a year now. Like, where do you go from here? I think it's a legit question that a lot of us are just struggling to figure it out. Like, Seth, do you go back to Seth? Like, what happens now? I think that's where we're at, I think, in terms of the Roman Reigns title reign at this point.
So I haven't seen the Roman Brock rivalries A&E special yet, but I was told that the Roman Brock story was supposed to go about 10 years, which is insane that was said out loud, if that was indeed said out loud. But if you look at the Roman story arc, from their first match at WrestleMania 31 until really WrestleMania 38, Roman didn't have that big win over Brock. He had the SummerSlam match where he kind of flash pinned him and then brought, because Braun Strowman was faking the cash in. And then Roman got leukemia and he was out and he kind of had to reset. But Roman's biggest win over Brock was 7 years after his first match with Brock. Maybe that's a story that they're telling with Cody. It's the best that I can come up with.
Yeah, I really wanted, I'm not going to lie to you, I really wanted the Zayn win in Montreal. I wanted that to happen. Once that didn't happen, I was like many, I believe, who were like, all right, fine, Mania, whatever, just get him off him. I don't care at this point. And then it didn't happen. Now we're sitting here going, when does this happen? Is this going to happen? Like, there's got to be something here, right?
It might not happen. And John in Waltham, John wants to talk about the main event finish. And that main event finish, by the way, is Roman Reigns beating Cody Rhodes. John, go ahead.
Yeah, and that was the worst decision they could have ever done.
Oh,
because they had an opportunity. They had the finish. Kevin Owens hit his finisher. Zayn hit his finisher. It went full circle. Could have pinned him right there. They had the finish, create a megastar, story complete, and then they just ruined it all. For what? For 1,000 days, it's just awful, awful booking decision.
All right, John, so Cody wins tonight, then what?
Then you have your new star for the next generation. Roman can take his break, and then so on. New challengers will be created, new fighters, new feuds.
What if I told you Roman wasn't taking a break?
I don't lose.
I mean, ever. He's not going to do... When's the next time he's going to defend the title? SummerSlam?
No, probably the next Saudi show, probably in London, Money in the Bank.
Which is July, though. What are you going to do till July? That's 3 months.
He could defend it on SmackDown. I mean, he faced Matt Riddle in a SmackDown title match in between.
Well, it's looking like in Puerto Rico, they're probably going to do like a six-man tag or something.
Oh, so John, thank you for bringing this up, and thank you for the phone call tonight, John. Good caller, John. I think Roman is fighting Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico.
That sucks.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just telling you what I believe.
Give me something. Give me what I want. That's not what I want. That's
you want,
me, right?
You want Dave Bautista? Is that what you want? That's a great meme. All right. Fitzy in Uxbridge. Did we talk to Fitzy already?
I think so, but...
Yeah, let's pop him back up there because his subject line is Shane McMahon and Kowloon shoes. Fitzy, go ahead. I think you called earlier, didn't you?
Sorry, just had to quickly ask him, but put your ones up in Route 1. Kowloon, John Cena, and the Saga shoes.
All right. So the Kowloon Saga shoes was great. I think everybody was appreciative of John Cena getting the Kowloon Saga shoes. They held up. They looked good. It looked like he was wearing them all day. There's a longer and more in-depth story, but I'm not at liberty to tell it right now.
I didn't realize he was wearing them until someone posted on Instagram, and I was like, it was actually the Kowloon's Instagram who posted, and I was like, yo, I was so excited. I was like, that's amazing. Because I was truthfully watching that match last night, looking at his shoes, being like, what are those? Are they just new? Does he like them? First of all, Cena is on a heater with merch.
Yeah,
that G.I. Joe shirt is unbelievable. It's so good. I like lately his shirts have been unbelievable. But I was very happy to see that he had that little nod. I mean, I think as we get older here, we're appreciating John Cena matches. Like we're not gonna get many more of these at this point.
No,
like right, like and so you're appreciating callers have brought this up, right, about Roman, where you go from here. I will say the one thing that's been good about Roman being a somewhat part-time champion is that, and this is a credit to Triple H and the writers and the talent, they have made the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title important again, and they were not important for a very long time. They've made those titles very important, and it's a credit to everyone involved, but namely Austin Theory and Seth Rollins and whoever had the belt beforehand, and also Gunther.
Yep, totally agree with you. Those middle-of-the-card championships are important. We grew up with them being important. The Intercontinental Champion and the U.S. Champion were the number one contenders to the World Champion in some form or fashion. Or they were, you know, the IC title was the Workers' title. The U.S. Champion was the next guy, presumably to get to Ric Flair and lose, more than likely. Much like Roman Reigns.
And I don't know if you're like a belt nerd. Like
oh,
I am.
I have 25 of them.
The U.S., the current
only
U.S. title.
Only three of them.
That's unbelievable, by the way. The current U.S. title, I love it. Oh, it looks so good. It looks like a legit like championship. Like they kind of fumbled on that one for a little bit, but this current belt is so sweet looking. I love it.
They recover greatly on that. Ty Anderson, do you have a final thought on WrestleMania? Because I have no more calls, so I can close down the show within mere moments.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is always a really fun time of year. And now we get to the next fun thing, the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania.
I hate it.
You hate it?
I hate it. I think it's the worst Raw because they go against everything that they want to do the other 364 days a year.
So this leads me to my point. I know you may have informed information on this. Who do you think is the next guy to come up? Be it a guy we haven't seen in a while, someone on NXT. Like, who do you think is going to make their debut tomorrow night?
I don't have this one informed. I think it's Jay White.
Really?
Which I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Jay White doesn't do anything for me. That crowd will go nuts for him, but Jay White doesn't do anything for me. Like, they need, if they're going to have somebody, like, Randy Orton coming back tomorrow night does something for me. Randy Orton coming back and either doing a story with Cody, or being Roman's next challenger, that does something for me. Jay White doesn't do anything for me.
A guy that I really want to see what they do with at this level being WWE, is Cameron Grimes. We haven't seen him for a long time. I loved his character because I felt that it was modern but campy enough to, like, it taps into the nostalgia, like the part of wrestling that I always loved as a kid. Yep. And I don't know if you've seen recent photos of him. He's gotten absolutely ripped. It'd be great to see him. I'd love to see how he would translate on the main roster. Same thing with someone like a tag team like Pretty Deadly.
Pretty Deadly.
I'd like to see what they could do on the main roster as well. So I'm excited for tomorrow night. Hopefully it's good.
Maybe it's Bron Breakker because he just dropped the NXT title to Jay Stu favorite, Carmelo Hayes, Not a nicer person in the wrestling world than Carmelo Hayes. He grew up around here, local wrestler, all that stuff. A Shawn Michaels favorite, good all-around guy, wrestled the main event at the Garden, got a great ovation, which helped. So I was very happy for that. My closing thought, and something that we didn't get to before we say goodnight here, is Dominic Mysterio.
Mm.
His performance on night one, that kid is a star, an absolute star for the last, I don't know, 6 months of work within Judgment Day. The going to jail, prison, that whole package, the throwing the water in his sister's face, in his mom's face, like the trash talk, like Dominic Mysterio is a star. And I was surprised that Ray won the match, but everything that Dominic Mysterio did before losing the match, thought was outstanding. And there's another Dominic Mysterio story that I'll tell in my book when we get a little bit further away from it. But I'm a big fan of Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, it's funny we didn't get to it. I loved the slight Eddie Guerrero tribute there with his music for 20 seconds. Like, that got me. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Because, you know, our first intro to Dominic was the Rey Mysterio-Eddie Guerrero feud. And I was like, that's a great callback. Because a lot of fans probably don't remember that. A lot of the younger fans don't remember, you know, Uncle Eddie asking Dominic if he liked candy in the middle of the ring in SmackDown, like, you know, all those years ago now. So I loved that. And yeah, they're taking a big step towards building Dominic as a great, just great in-ring performer, but also great on the mic, great being a heel, great drawing heat. He had go-away heat. Now it's like, oh, he's a good heel heat. Like, so I always like those transitions when those guys can do that. So he's been great.
Agreed. 100% agree. All right. No more callers. We're out of WrestleMania. Well, we could talk more wrestling, but, you know, I think our listenership has kind of fizzled out. This will be up on the podcast probably sometime tomorrow. Ty, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for talking wrestling with me off the air and now talking wrestling with me on the air. Hopefully your Sports Sunday hit went well. And if you didn't see it live as Ty did it, they run the replays on NBC Sports Boston in the AM. So check out Ty Anderson and Ty's hockey and really everything else work on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I say this with full bias. Ty Anderson is the best hockey writer in this market. He breaks stories. His stories are good. He's really good on the air. And it's been my pleasure to work with you here in a wrestling forum. So thank you for that.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Jeff Williams, thank you for being a wrestling fan and staying up late with us and producing the program tonight. My name is James Stewart. I'm normally the annoying voice you hear 2 to 6 or now 2 to 7, chiming in and causing havoc. I also do the Stick to Wrestling podcast. Thank you to everybody who called in. Thank you to Jim Louth and Rick Radzik for giving me this forum and this platform. I appreciate it. Everybody who called in, everybody who watches wrestling, everybody who sends me a tweet, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for being a wrestling fan, because at the end of the day, I'm a wrestling fan who is blessed enough to have a platform like this to yell at the top of my lungs, Roman Reigns won! He beat Cody Rhodes! Suck on it, Cody Rhodes fans. Good night, everybody.
This is a special edition of Stick to Wrestling with James Stewart. Jay Stu and Ty Anderson recap WrestleMania 39 right now on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.